I'm Hammer here with Paradigm Shift, and thank you again so much for joining us today. And as always, we want to give all glory, thanksgiving, honor, praise, and worship, and everything in of ourselves to the Father of our forefathers, Yahuwah El, who sits in the heaven of heavens with our King, Yahushua HaMashiach, sitting at his right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool.
Yahuwah Sali, Umet Zudati, Umet Falti, Eli, Duri, Echesebo. In other words, Yah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my El, my rock in whom I shall find refuge. Oh, we're going to be doing another part of Worlds in Collision, part 18, I think. And we're going to be giving some witnesses, and we're going to be reading from Velikovsky again. And that Hebrew prayer, the Psalm 18, that's really fitting because there are things that are coming our way where we are going to have to look to him to be our rock in whom we find refuge. You don't have any other choices. He is everything. He is our all. And the best thing that we can do is get cleared out, get our hearts cleared out so we can actually see and hear the direction he wants us to go in.
Hallelujah, Mishpacha. So, you know, it's like Velikovsky has written in his other books that I'm into and reading, like Ages and Chaos, after reading Worlds in Collision, and Ages and Chaos rewrites all of world history because of the correlations between the Egyptian timeline and the timeline of Israel. Well, they're in that, and it's a 600-year difference. It either didn't exist at all in Egyptian history, or there's 600 years missing in Israelite history. But the thing that you come to the conclusion on is that there's a reason why these things have been hidden, just like all the ancient testimonies on the catastrophes of the Exodus and the flood and Hezekiah's event and Joshua's event when he battled at Jericho. And the question he poses and lets everybody know, that why in this world have we not been able to teach our children these things, and why has it not been taught to us in our history books and from the schools and the educational systems that we pay for? They're supposed to give us the truth on all things.
And I know that he also answers that. I'm reading his book, Mankind in Amnesia, also written by Velikovsky. And one of the things he talks about is that they've set us up to walk around self-assured that nothing's going to happen in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. That's why they don't teach these things, because if we were taught the truth about how the earth goes into upheaval, we would be much more circumspect and much more fearing Yahuwah. That what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of Yahuwah.
The one who controls all these things.
That's
and
right.
That's the reason, main reason why they bury it, because they give total confirmation to the scriptures that we read.
And we all would walk in alignment.
And we'd walk in alignment because we'd have fear, because we'd know that we aren't there. There is a God and we ain't him.
That's right.
And then also, we'd also completely, you have to read these books, Mitch McCall. Worlds in Collision, Ages in Chaos, Earth and Upheaval,
Mankind and Amnesia.
You must. They were the Satanic Illuminati Sabbateans who are not Jews. They pretend to be Jews.
Jews in name only.
Jews in name only.
Just wolves in sheep's clothing.
Just like the Christians in name only, of the Pope and the heads of the Protestant churches, like the Queen of England and stuff
Muslims
like that.
In name only.
And Muslims in name only. That's right. They're all getting together, you know, to have a big party in the land of Israel, and your blood is coming to be spilt with that.
Now, they need to read these.
Okay. You have to
read. Well, we have a link. One of our sisters sent us a link. Yes. So you can get these PDFs online. Just email us at paradigmshift@hisplan.net, and you can get that link for the PDFs from us, and we will put it up on the new website whenever we get that happens. That will be up there. These are very important books. They're going to be People always highlight them as some of the most important things to actually shift your paradigms.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. You know, you do not understand the scriptures without reading them. All the prophets in the center of the book, especially starting with Isaiah. Jeremiah was talking about these things. But Jeremiah, Isaiah specifically, he was eyewitness to these events during Hezekiah's time, and he was constantly warning the people of what is coming and how Abba disciplines the earth and his own people. It's not just with armies and things coming to get you, you know, and that's what these people, these Illuminati Satanists, these banker kings that rule the world and control all the fiat money printing presses around the world, these queens and kings with their corporate lackeys that you could call them. In the old days, they were called lords and duchesses and dukies. And
they're mercenaries and for hire. They're called ISIS.
Yeah, they create things like ISIS. They got their mercenary arms.
Exactly,
but they use corporations today and titles like vice president, president of corporations, instead of lords and dukes and dukies and duchesses and all that. So they keep that buried from us because they know what's coming. They're preparing for what they did before the flood, which was dig underground cities all over the earth and stocking with all the food and provision they possibly can while they're orchestrating the world and keeping them totally diluted on the surface and preparing us to annihilate one another through plague, war, famine, you name it. They are completely fear 6 to 7 billion people coming and trying to dig them out of their bunkers in the time of chaos that's coming.
And you can also subscribe to the newsletter at that same email address, paradigmshift@hisplan.net, paradigmshift@hisplan.net,
right.
So that you can see the headlines, because the headlines, they're telling you that Velikovsky is telling the truth and that we are on the verge of another world in collision, another cataclysm that's going to change our world as we know it. And there is just valuable evidence everywhere out there when we are willing to drop our paradigms that we hang so tightly to,
right,
and let them shift and let new revelation and knowledge clear our understanding so that we really can walk in a different way,
right,
with a different understanding and hold our heads a little higher because we know who the king of the universe is.
These books are just as important, if not more important, than the writings of our forefathers that they have feared us into not reading. You know, like you just learned in the Rachel Elor series with her professor, with her lecture at the Chicago University Divinity School. And from her article on Sun to the Moon and her research of how we got the Hillel 2 calendar and how the rabbis made it up, just like the Gregorian calendar was made up. It was all done through death and destruction in order to control the minds of people so they can control information in all ages. But what we learned from that was, I just got lost at where I was going.
All the different professors.
Oh, all the books.
The books.
These, in my opinion, should be addendum. Not that they're the holy word of Yah, but they should be a required addendum to your scriptures to read. You cannot understand your scriptures without understanding the witness and the testimony of the ancients across this
globe. And according to Velikovsky, all the prophets like Nahum and Amos and Hosea and Isaiah and Jeremiah, every single one of them, they were literally witnessing these events happening in front of them. They weren't giving you an allegorical witness. But then what happened was when the Greeks came along, like Aristotle, they literally made a obliteration. They made it to, it became a, and I can't think of the word, it was a statute to obliterate the reality of these things and turn them into something less unusual, something more allegorical, so that people would not venture into the understanding, because people are most comfortable and most likely to remain sheeple if they believe that their
earth,
their earth, their sun, their moon, and their stars never change. If they believe that, then they can still be herded into categories and divided into wars, and they can be focused on little self-centered things. And the beauty of what Velikovsky has done by collecting all of the ancient witnesses is he has proven, and this is why he was smothered and smashed, he has proven that our earth has changed many times. Our heavens, our sun, moon, and stars, those things have altered their course many times. and that it's coming again, and that there's the earth bears witness when nobody else will. The earth does cry out and bear witness.
So the heavens say witness against us, Mishpachah. It's because of the evil that we are storing up in our hearts, and we are going on, and we're not getting to this.
We are. Let's do some witnesses here.
We'll get some witnesses, and what Tamara's about to read in Velikovsky, what we're about to read, is what she just said. Is the reason why these things are sidelined is because they're sidelined into myths and legends made up
to keep you fat and happy.
That's
right. To keep you complacent. Okay, here's a witness from August 20th, and this was, I was just in France, in Paris, from August 5th to August 10th, and noticed that their deciduous trees were dropping their leaves, as if it were well into fall. Matter of fact, so many leaves were turning and dropping that my daughter and I jumped in the piles. On another note, back in Alaska this week, the ducks and geese have began to fly south. It seems early in the season for this to be happening. I have friends who work on the North Slope, and this year they had a lot of snowfall during the summer. And they think it will begin to snow by the end of August and continue through winter. I have not checked historical records for early seasonal changes in France or Alaska, but it does seem early. And it's early.
Oh, yeah. Was that a sister or brother?
That was a sister.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sister. You know, you're absolutely right in what you're witnessing there.
Yes.
I want to give you confirmation on that. There was this an article out this past week, I believe it might have been last week, but it was talking about the United States has just experienced the coldest summer ever in recorded history, and we're having things that they're calling the polar vortex come sliding down from Canada, even during the summertime now. So this is a whole new terminology. Not only that, we've got Phoenix being completely inundated with floods from a hurricane off the west coast of Mexico, while the unknowing and robot repeating weather men and women on all your weather stations, especially down here in the southwest United States, are saying that this flow of moisture coming up into Colorado and the southwestern part of the country is from monsoonal flows. Well, Mishpachah, if anyone looks up southwestern United States monsoonal flows, just like we've told you, the moisture has to come from southern California, where they would get rain and not have drought. All the moisture that has been hitting the United States for this entire summer and a great deal of the last couple of years has been flowing directly up from the Gulf of Mexico. So far, it's putting great storms up into Canada, and they call it the southern winds. And these things are supposed to be rare, but this has been going on all summer long. Our weather has changed. Our jet streams are broken. Our oceanic currents are broken. The magnetic field is failing, and the pole is changing and shifting.
So normally, you know, for us here in August, it's still summer, but we had fall this year in August. We saw leaves turning. We felt it getting cooler. We had fall, golden days, everything that feels like fall. Well, now we're in September, and it's gone from fall to winter. It feels like winter here. We're bundling up. We're watching gray, cloudy skies. It seems like snow could come at any time. I mean, it's just, you know, and the leaves haven't fallen, and the trees haven't completely changed, you know, so there's still a little bit of that reminiscence, that there's life
fall.
Still there, but the winter is upon us. You can feel it here. It's actually colder. So, even where we're sitting, we can bear witness to the early winter, and then we're looking at the news articles, and they're saying the same thing, and there's been snow falling in other states already.
Yeah, seven western states have already gotten snowfall. And last year, we got snowfall in September, and the year before, very early October, so it's been going backwards each year. Around in our area, the closest, the traditional time for getting the first snow falls is around their sacred All Hallows Eve night of Halloween, because it ruins their parties. So anyway,
we have a witness from England, Nottinghamshire, I think is what he called it, and I can't seem to find it. I know it's in his emails. I have several emails from him here. And so anyway, what he's talking about a gray out condition. Now we've witnessed the same thing. The skies will be bright and clear, and he says, my head and my eyes and thinking also. Then gradually, as these conditions arrive, these gray-out conditions, my eyes become heavy, my balance starts to become affected, and eyesight power decreases. Recently, I had an eye test and new specs. Now my eyes seem to have resorted back to pre-test vision strength. My head, my cranium, feels under some sort of pressure and not feeling quite with it. When the sky is blue and with no clouds and a real clear day, vision is as it should be and reduced heaviness in my head. So the question is, is a spiritual or a type of mind control through various systems of HAARP, which the UK is now known to have on our island. Wi-Fi or some magnetic interference to make one feel lethargic, etc., to the point of not wanting to get out of bed. Strangely enough, I can tell before opening my eyes in the morning what the weather's like. We seem to be experiencing lots of miniature spiders, too. Lots of fine webs that float on the breeze, so that we're constantly wiping them off of our faces, forearms, etc. I have mysterious spots that do not itch. They just appear. They do not give the urge to pick them. They just sit there. Have two now, one on my right and one on my lower abdomen. My friend next door has experienced similar spots and bites. Sensations of movements under the skin, but no evidence of anything when trying to spot them in the mirror at any angle, even with a torch. So this, you know, this reminds me of Morgellons that we've talked to you about. And lastly, it's quite important that the rain, it's not rain. While these conditions prevail, if I pick an object that has a dark background, like a hedge or a garage, etc., and really focus into the darkness, my friend and I can observe this rain/drizzle condition that's coming straight down. But if I stand outside in it, there's no sensation of rain or water droplets on one's skin. You can see the stuff, but the ground remains dry. Okay, so, and then he talks about also that he finds that the glare from the whiteout has a, because, you know, they're always keeping it in a haze, that it has a detrimental effect on his eyes. Because I suppose this is where the eyes quite naturally search for a focus point. This then plays havoc on one's brain receptors, which brings on and leads to a drowsiness state, which eventually becomes tiredness, early tiredness. Now, we can pick through and recognize many of those kinds of things because they're not, they're going across the globe.
Yeah, they're
it's
commonly
not,
reported.
Yeah.
You know, anywhere, especially where there's chemtrailing going on. But not only that, but with the changes in the earth and the sun and the moon and the star, there's some planets, all this kind of stuff that's going on today in mankind and amnesia.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mo.
What?
Velikovsky talks about the great forgetting that occurs as a
when there's a traumatic experience.
Traumatic experience, and even there's also discussion, not from Velikovsky, but from the intense magnetic fields that occur when the heavens begin to move and something passes this planet. It even can give a mind wipe, Mishpaka. You know, and we know our scriptures talk about that we will remember those that are going to go to hell. We will remember them no more as if they never were. So anyway,
and the Exodus, that brings whole new light to not remembering the first Exodus, because the second one is so great. I mean, literally, we won't remember it and it won't be talked about anymore. You know, you really take that in and imagine that.
That's to happen.
You got to have some serious stuff going on. Now, I just want to do one more witness here because it's important and you guys can write in about this stuff too. I'm going to call it a programming witness. Just want to tell you how bad the programming here is in the Atlanta area. Over 3 years ago, at a family gathering, the TV was on, as it always is at my brother's house, unfortunately. When the ads came on that day, either my mom or my dad muted the TV, as they rarely watch TV and strongly dislike the advertisements. Good for them. As soon as the silence hit the room, my sister-in-law went into a rage and started yelling to turn the TV back on. Everyone was stunned at the ferocity of her tone and the volume. She sensed the shock and immediately started to explain that they like the ads and they don't mute the TV in their house. She became highly agitated when no one moved or said anything for a moment, and so I asked her why she felt the need to have it on when she and no one else was watching the TV ads. She seemed dazed for a moment and then with subdued anger said, "I just like to have it on." Something about my manner and the way I looked at her totally unnerved her, and so I said that I found it strange how different people are in their needs, and told her that I was just the opposite and that's why we moved to the country, to have silence so I could meditate and hear and feel myself in the Father's voice. Her last response was to huff and turn away and say, "Well, I like the background of the TV going all the time." End of conversation. I will never forget the look that my father and I shared at that moment. It said, "Very disturbed and unnatural." And we can absolutely bear witness to this sister's testimony because in our own households, in our own families, we've experienced the very same things. TV takes precedence over piano. In my household, TV in your house. No, not here. But when I was growing up, it was all about the television and I wasn't allowed to play the piano if the TV was going. Now, here with Todd's family, literally you walk from room to room and every single room has a TV playing and it's on the whole time. So literally, you can never go anywhere without that box squawking at you.
Just like out in the world, and now you're carrying around, and a lot of people are carrying around their hands 24/7. But the reason why the lady's suffering from that, she's suffering from addictive
it's an addiction.
Addictive withdrawal. withdrawals because they set up the frequency and the waves and the lights and the sounds coming from that TV and that box to put you into a beta wave sleep?
Or alpha. It's alpha.
Alpha wave
alpha
sleep.
State.
Alpha
where
state.
You can actually be taught things and program mm-hmm. things. Yeah. And then you become hungry for that and you get you're stimulated
you
by it.
It's the same thing alpha as the state.
What they got, like a text? Yeah, they got text syndrome now where right. people start freaking out if they can't text on their phones and stuff.
You got to use their fingers all the time.
And why? Yeah. Why are they doing that to you? Why is that important to them? Because
keep
they need to keep you distracted. So as they build these wars that they get you involved in, you have no
keep
idea about looking up and about what's really coming. While they go underground, then a lot of population can die and they can come up and have their new world order.
Okay.
Their new world order isn't going to be as easy with 7 billion people wandering the earth. They're going to allow this stuff to get rid of people. And then the Georgia Guidestones come into play to maintain the population under 500 million. That's the answer. That's how they get it done.
That's right. They have to do it. They have to do it in order to exist underground while the rest of the world, they expect to survive the conflagrations that are coming to cleanse this earth by fire. And like scripture clearly states, they will be crushed and destroyed in their caves underneath the ground and will be entombed there for reservation for hell, and fire and damnation for eternity. Hallelujah. So we are not going to get much reading done of Worlds in Collision Day, but I'll start off here a little bit. And like I said, we're going to start off with the part where the interpretation of these events have been made into myths so that we won't believe in them. What helped to discredit the traditions of the peoples about the catastrophes was their subjective and magical interpretation of the events. The sea was torn apart. The people attributed this act to the intervention of their leader. He lifted his staff over the waters they divided. Of course, there is no person who can do this, and no staff with which it can be done. Likewise, in the case of Joshua, who commanded the sun and the moon to halt in their movements, because the scientific mind cannot believe that a man can make the sun and the moon to stand still, it disbelieves also the alleged event. What contributes to this is the fact that least of all do we place faith in books that demand belief, religious books, though we swear on these. The peoples of the past were prepared to see miracles in unusual occurrences. For this reason, modern man, who does not believe in miracles, rejects the event together with the interpretation. But as we find the same event in the traditions of many peoples, and as each people has differently comprehended it, its historicity can be checked. And this in addition to the control offered by natural science. For example, if the geographical poles change their location or the axis its inclination, the ancient solar clock would not show the correct time. Or if the magnetic poles, got a little dog-eared page here, or if the magnetic poles became reversed at some time in the past, the lava of earlier volcanic activity must show reverse magnetic orientation, which you see evidence of both these all over the planet, Mishpachah. There's lots of water clocks and sundials that only work with the earth in a different orientation. To this day, you
right.
can go look it up and see what the archaeologists are trying to figure out about that one. But there is also a check by folklore. Isaiah foretold to King Hezekiah probably a few hours before the event that the shadow of the sundial would return 10 degrees. As we know now, the planet Mars was at that moment very close to the earth, and Isaiah could make an estimate based on experiences during previous perturbations of the earth by Mars. The Chinese explain this phenomena as having occurred to help their princes in their strategy or to settle a quarrel among them. The Greek people thought the phenomena was an expression of heavenly wrath at the crime of the Argive tyrants. The Latins thought the phenomena was an omen associated with Romulus, son of Mars. In the Icelandic epos, the same event has a different purpose. In the Finnish epos, another, and yet others in Japan and Mexico and Polynesia. The American Indians say the sun went backwards several degrees for fear of a boy who tried to snare it or because of some animal that terrified it. Precisely because there are great differences in the subjective evaluation of the causes or purposes of the phenomena, we can assume that the folklore of different peoples deals with one and the same factual event, and only the magical explanations of the miracle are subjective inventions. Many accompanying details are preserved in the variants of different peoples, which could not have been invented without an adequate knowledge of the laws of motion and thermodynamics. It is inconceivable that the ancients or the primitive races would, for instance, by sheer chance invent the tale that a huge conflagration enveloped the American prairies and forest as soon as the sun, frightened off by the snare, returned a little on its way. Running out of time here, Mishpacaba. Keep going. If a phenomenon had been similarly described by many peoples, we might suspect that a tale originating with one people had spread around the world, and consequently there is no proof of the authenticity of the event related. But just because one and the same event is embodied in traditions that are very different indeed, its authenticity becomes highly probable, especially if the records of history, ancient charts, sundials, and the physical evidence of natural history testify to the same effect. So, yes, we are definitely out of time again, Mishpacha, and we're going to continue on with Worlds in Collision Part 19 next. And we're going to get right into this. I've got some evidence of lost cities that are 3,000 to 6,000 feet under the oceans of the world that we will be referencing in the beginning of the next show. So keep looking up everything, Mishpacha. Hallelujah. Remember the Saturday. Keep it cooling. Respect your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.